Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
Beautiful Tuesday in Greensboro, North Carolina. And today is a special day for me. Okay, every day I wake up is a special day, but this is even more special. This week, of course, is the beginning of the 4th of July holiday weekend fun. Yeehaw! The kids are out of school. Hot dogs and hamburgers abound. Fireworks and pool parties are in style. Yeehaw, here we go. We're off and running. It is also the last episode of my series of music and worship. But don't you fret. A new series of messages is brewing in my head as we speak. The God phone is going like crazy. So, I think there is no better way to use this last episode on music and worship than to have one of my favorite musicians and a very special friend, Miss Jen Phipps Quisenberry, here today with us. She is a rock, R-O-C-K, solid Christian, who has an amazing testimony to tell us. In addition, she's going to share some information with us about her upcoming missionary trip to Mozambique, Africa. I suggested maybe to go to something like the Bahamas, but she chose Mozambique, Africa. So hang in there. And she's going to be with us on the second half of the show after the message. Yes, you must endure the message first. Then you get to hear Jen. So, that being said, on to the message we go. So, I titled the message today, "Let Music Be Your Freedom Key." And I thought that was kind of quaint. I didn't title it, actually. Somebody who gave me the message did. What's his name? And, okay, I titled it. And it's intended to remind us that freedom is meant for all of us, A-L-L, all of us, and that freedom is never really free. Our freedom as Christians came at the expense of Jesus Christ. Our freedom as Americans came at the expense of thousands throughout the time that America has been here. All in all, we are blessed to be free. So the scripture today is in the book of Galatians, which is in the New Testament, about halfway, chapter 5, verse 13. Now remember what my standing rule is for reading the scripture. No pilots, train engineers, crane operators, bus drivers, or women putting makeup on while driving should attempt to look up the scripture right now. Save it for later. All the rest of you, let's go, your game. Okay, so in this passage, Paul, of course, it's always Paul, speaking to the churches he had founded in Galatia, which is in modern-day Turkey. It is believed by most scholars that Paul wrote about 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. And there are about three more books of the New Testament he may have authored also. That's hard. Authored also. But that debate is still going today. I mean, the scholars have to have something to debate, so they're never going to, like, agree on everything. Anyway, so here is Paul addressing some of his rowdy sheep who need to be reminded what their new freedom as Christians is all about. So I'm going to read you the passage from the NIV, New International Version of the Bible, and it goes something like this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly and in love. Yeah, that kind of sounds like a Pauline thing. Most scholars, and believe me, that's amazing when most scholars agree on something, translate the term indulge in the flesh, which, by the way, is found about 1,000 times in the Bible. Well, I don't know if it's 1,000, but it's found there a lot. It simply means to live a haughty, misguided, corrupt life. When you indulge in the flesh, you are not in the spirit. Wow, I should write that down. That was pretty good. Living this way puts a barrier between you and God. This barrier goes up and your life becomes very complicated. So if I brought Paul back today, if I could, he'd probably address us something like this. Yo, listen, dude, you have freedom and that's really cool. But don't be stupid. That freedom is meant for you to be able to minister to one another. Dude, don't be a victim of this world's sinful thoughts and temptations. Yo. Hey, how was that? I practiced that. Anyway, the point being that Paul was trying to tell his people, you know, you're given freedom. You fought so long. And you have this freedom as Christians now. Don't blow it. Yeah. So, obviously, because it's 4th of July, freedom is the call that God is making on his God phone today. Let's see what he left on my voicemail. Yes, it's true. I never answer a blocked phone number. But maybe I should unlock that feature because I want to know what the area code for heaven is. Anyway, this is it. This is what he left for me. This weekend marks a very important time in American history. And although we are a nation of many diverse religions today, it is a holiday to remember that the founding fathers of this country built the structure of our government on Jesus Christ, and that Christianity is the cornerstone of that structure. The forefathers of this country were declaring our freedom from King George and his tyranny. No longer would we worship God under a national religion. A religion that the kings and queens could change whenever they wanted to. So the young army of America fought and died so that generations could worship God in peace. It also meant that America would welcome people from all religions. I believe this diversity has made us stronger more often than not, and has given us the principles of tolerance and understanding for those who wish to find sanctuary here. Even as time and battles have been waged against these principles, and the unbelievers have managed to remove Christianity from some parts of the structure, our original cornerstone still stands in place, supporting the grace and goodness of America. However, freedom's bell has not always rung true for all of us in America. In the early years of this country, we committed a grave injustice to the African Americans. But like the children of Israel, who sang praises to the Lord while wandering in the wilderness, the slaves in America had one freedom, and that was music. Music and praises to God while they were mistreated and abused freed their spirits from all the misery, pain, and sorrow they endured. Wow, I wish I could learn to speak. And when their life was over, it was music that sent them on their way to heaven. I'm telling you, some of those funerals are concerts. How many of us today still feel enslaved? We are tied to so many weights that we sometimes feel there's no way to free us from the bondage we've set ourselves in. No time to do this, have to go there, take the children to dance class. Oh my God, what am I having for dinner? Oh, geesh. And so on and so forth. Sometimes we ask God, why do you allow my children to go hungry? Or my husband, brother, son, daughter, to die in a foreign country? How can I sing of freedom in the land of milk and honey when tomorrow I'm burying a loved one? And I've been asked that question. And anyone who's in the ministry will be asked that question over and over again. I wish I had all the answers. I wish I could look a grieving person in the face and give them what they're so longing to hear. I wish I could take someone who's suffering and someone who's lost and raise them up. I don't have all the answers. But I do believe this, and I believe it with all my heart. All the trials we face are seen and heard by God. He hears every one of us. And his master plan is never revealed to us in these moments. But take heart in the knowledge that others are in your same place. Find them. Find some freedom by sharing and caring for one another. God created Adam. And he looked at Adam and he said, oh God, I'm going off script. No, he didn't say that, but I am. He looked at Adam and he said, this is not good. Every other animal has a partner. You have no partner. This is not good. Even today, I tell you, if you are alone or you feel alone, you need to find some solace. You need to find some freedom sharing and caring for someone else who may be in the same place. So many times, we are trapped in the chains of drugs, alcohol, or other addictions. And I can tell you, as a 32-year survivor of alcoholism and still fighting, that if you feel everyone has turned their back on you, I am here to say that whatever chains are binding you today, take a step towards Jesus and just start singing a song. Come on. Jesus loves me, this I know. This little light of mine, anything. If you start singing a praise or two in your heart, I am telling you, the healing will begin. And remember that if you reach out of the deep waters of despair, he will grab your hand and pull you up. The clincher is, you got to reach out. Lambano, as my pastor would say. Lambano, reach out, grab, and he will pull you up. When I'm in my deepest moments of depression, and I believe nothing can help, I try to hang on to the truth that those feelings, those dark thoughts, do not come from a loving God. A loving God who grieves with me, but from a sinister spirit who wants to break me down. A sinister spirit that wants to put walls up, walls that I cannot get around or over, walls that will darken my life, walls that will keep me from those I love. When I sing at first, maybe they are songs of grief, maybe they are songs of anger, but in time, the music brings me solace, and the Holy Spirit begins to fill my heart with peace, and I am back in control. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not saying that music will cure all your ailments and that you should stop taking your medications or stop seeing your doctor or seeing your counselors. Not at all. Not. Nor will it make you win the lottery or have a new home just drop in front of you. At least I've not heard of any cases of that happening. What I am saying is that all these things can become lesser of a burden on your spirit if you hand them over to God and free yourself of the stress and the pain. Now, another clincher. When you hand something over to God, whatever it might be, you turn your back and you walk from it and you don't take it back again. You know, God's got a job to do. And he is the most qualified one I know of to do that job. And his job is to help you get through this life and to help you relieve yourself of some stress and some pain and to focus on what your job is, which is celebration. Singing, celebration, being happy in the spirit, and bringing others to that happiness. So when you turn something over to God, please don't take it back 3 days later when you're feeling better and you think you can handle it. If you could have handled it, you would not have turned it over to him to begin with. Yeah? I'm thinking that, yeah. I'm an advocate of trying to stay focused on one thing at a time, because I am, as many people would say, look, there's a chicken. Oh, shiny. I'm very easily distracted and very easily taken off track. So I try my best to make sure God is taking everything I can possibly give him and still remain focused on my life and my ministry. Because, gosh, oh golly, that's what it's all about. So when you have a burden, when your spirit is heavy, and you know those times, you may not want to admit them to anyone else, but you know when you're sliding. turned over to God. All right? You know this coming weekend is America's birthday. And oh, the pride we should feel because of the blessings of this land. You know, everyone says we're the richest, biggest, most powerful nation on earth. And, you know, that's cool. And I'm blessed to be here. But I also remember those who are not so blessed. So this weekend especially, number one, please don't drink and drive. Number two, when you feel like you might be taking advantage of the nature of this land, and I believe in giving back to my community as much as I can, and to share with my friends, whom I love dearly. But all things said, I still keep my eyes on the goal. And the goal is, of course, my relationship with Jesus Christ. So this weekend, when you're having all the 4th of July celebrations, when you sing the national anthem, and I know everybody does, I ask from now on, and I'm going to post these three quotes this afternoon on my blog page, both at BBS Radio and at my personal blog page, closerwalkwithyou.com. I'm going to ask you to remember, or try to remember, something of these three quotes. And I hope that maybe it'll help you a little bit. There are three of my favorite American patriots. The first one comes from a gentleman by the name of Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry is a great writer and a great patriot. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, there is a difference. There's a difference between a religionist and a Christian. Hey, sounds like a sermon for the future. Okay, number two, another great man. I'm sure you've heard this name, George Washington. Do not let anyone claim tribute of American patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics. Now, that is not the same as church and state, which we'll get to in a second. That is, our country was based on clean politics, religion. Yes. Should we maybe turn the clock, the hands of the clock back? Oh, I'd love to see that. Ooh. And the last, I always save my favorite for last. There's a man by the name of Thomas Jefferson. Now, Thomas Jefferson was a very pragmatic kind of guy. He didn't mess around. He said things the way they were and made them happen. So here's his quote. The First Amendment has created a wall of separation between church and state. But that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in government. Now we're in the 21st century, and I would like to think that we could still do that. All in all, in the end, it is a fine and difficult line to walk in maintaining Christian principles and the separation of church and state. Yeah. We get it right most of the time, and because we are human, we get it wrong sometimes too. Yes, we do. All in all, I believe that God's grace is on America and that Christianity will always be the binding force that keeps us together. And you could say that as sappy. You can say that as like being a true patriot and all that stuff. But what it is being is a true Christian. Now, that's the end of that. Amen. You know when God calls me on the God phone? And it rings with all that sparkling little glorious sound. He says, you got to get this person on your show. Now, since the day I started the program, I have tried to hornswoggle this person to come on the show. And she's here. I just got told by my engineer that she is here. So, Miss Jen Fitzquisenberry, are you there?
I am here.
Yay! Okay, great. This is probably one of the most phenomenal guitarists I have ever heard. And I'm not saying that just because she's my friend. Okay, I am. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
So, Jen has an amazing story of her Christian roots, and we'll get to that. But I have a ton of questions to ask you first. How's that?
Okay. All right.
Here's the first one. When did you really start playing the guitar?
Playing guitar, I was actually a senior in high school.
Woo!
Yep. Someone said a girl couldn't play guitar, so I set out to prove them wrong.
And well, you did.
I did.
Okay, here's the second one. It's a loaded question. Why heavy metal? Wasn't it hard to get recognized as a serious musician in that genre?
Not in the heavy metal scene. I don't know. It just kind of was what called to me as far as my emotions, how I could get it out, is heavy metal.
Yeah. Okay. When you play guitar or any of the other instruments, thousands of instruments I know you're able to play, do you ever feel the power of the Holy Spirit?
I do, actually. When I'm worshiping, sometimes it just feels like the Holy Spirit takes over. So I'm just sitting back and watching, really. A lot of times I feel it at home when I'm worshiping by myself. And I'm just playing songs or learning songs. And just sometimes it just hits you. And just the Holy Spirit just takes over. And it feels awesome.
Yeah. Ooh. How many songs have you written?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea. More than I can count. Since I picked up the guitar, I've been writing. So
I slid that one in there because I knew you were going to say, I don't know. I've never kept count. I know there's very many of them. What are your hopes and dreams for your music?
My
if you
hopes
had
and dreams.
Magic wand, what would it look like?
Well, when I first started playing, my hopes and dreams were to become a rock star. And then God kind of took over, and now my hopes and dreams are just to be used by Him and to help people out, however that looks, meet them where they are, like you said earlier, and show them the freedom of Jesus Christ through my music.
You know, this is an awesome spot, I think. We have a song of yours, I believe. And
yeah.
I think this would be an awesome spot, don't you, to slide this song in there?
Sure.
You think? Mr. Engineer, do we have it? I have to ask you this question. Of course, it's kind of a loaded one also, because I was in the studio with you when you recorded that.
You sure were.
How many of those instruments did you play?
All of them.
Yes, right. You win the hot dog. Isn't that amazing? I just can't imagine sitting down at a set of drums and then going to a guitar and then going to a whatever else it was that you were playing. It's amazing. I love that song. And I have a question for you. Is that song somewhere where people can get it?
It's actually not right now. I'm getting ready to try to develop a website so that I can put more of my original praise type songs on, because you know my heavy metal band has songs, but as far as the praise music that I do, I haven't created a site yet for that. But if anyone's interested, you can contact me, and are you? You can contact me, and I can get it to them.
Do you have a website for the heavy metal band, you said?
Yes.
And what's the name of that heavy metal band?
Screaming by Me.
Screaming by Me, yes. Okay, well, what I guess I could do, because I'm going to get people that email me, is forward them to you.
That'll work good for me.
Now, the other question is, do you have a record label right now?
I do not.
Yes. And that's a good answer, because hopefully somewhere out there in the wide cyberspace, and I will tell you that I just took a look at iTunes. We have all of our recorded sessions on iTunes as a podcast. And mm-hmm. I believe we're on about 6 or 7 other syndicated shows. So we're all over the place. And who knows who's listening, right?
Right.
You might be a rock and roll star after all. No, because then you would be away and I wouldn't see you. Ah.
Oh. Yeah, I always come back.
Yeah. Who do you want to reach the most with your ministry?
Who do I want to reach the most? I would have to say, if I had to group just one type of group, it's anybody that feels like they're unworthy, or the people that society view as less than. Like with the heavy metal music, I like to reach the people that are broken in the bars and that have been hurt by the world, by Christians, and reach them and tell them the true love of Jesus. And then also just the broken throughout the world, the homeless and the hungry and, you know, the orphans, like mm-hmm. in Mozambique. So,
mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your journey.
My journey as far as from the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that could be a long time. Well, I'd have to say that my journey really began before I was born, because my mother, when she was pregnant with me, was struck by lightning and rushed to the hospital, and the doctors had told her that I had a twin brother, too, that we were both dead, detached from the womb, and we're just dead. And she knelt down and prayed and said, if you let this child be born, then I'll give her for your service, or it for your service. And I was born. And so I always grew up knowing that, because my mom was quick to remind me of that, especially if I was doing something wrong. And and so I grew up in church. Then I went through the typical teenage college rebellion, drinking, partying, going crazy. Then I became an alcoholic for a little while, and everything fell apart, and I came back to North Carolina. Right after I got back, someone had invited my mom to church, and I said I'd go with her. I hadn't been in a few years, and I ended up getting saved, and I didn't leave that church for a long time until God called me elsewhere. I went into different areas of ministry. I was in a hard rock band, Christian band, that we toured all over, and we got to play with the bigger bands like Building 429, Skillet, and Disciple, stuff like that. And then I came out. And for lack of a better word, got kicked out. So the pain of that caused me to run. And I struggled with God, because I still love God. I still believed. And I was just confused as to, everyone was telling me that God didn't love me anymore. And I eventually got to a really dark place. And decided to take my own life. And by a miracle of God, I was saved, and decided in the hospital that no one was going to stand in the way of what I believe.
See all the power of your words? Woo, Jesus is moving today. Woo, woo, woo. So today, you are pretty much back in control, and I am so jazzed to ask you this question. Tell me about your trip to Mozambique.
All right. I'm excited about this one. Mozambique is a lifetime goal of mine or dream of mine since I was a little girl. I said I want to be a missionary in Africa, to which my mom said, be a missionary here. Africa's too dangerous. And that's hurting people here. So throughout my life, I always have that pull, and I'd always get the same answer from my mom and from anybody. And then years ago, I was going to go to Mozambique. I found this lady named Heidi Baker with Irish Ministries, and I wanted to automatically go there. I just had a strong connection with her. And when I got kicked out of the Christian scene, I thought all those dreams had faded. And then not too long ago, I guess it's been a few months now, I just was laying in bed and felt God say that now it was time. And I was like, really? And I decided to go through the process of applying to go to Mozambique, which I had to give my testimony. And I decided to give my full testimony and not exclude any part. And leave it up to God. And within a couple of days, they had gotten back to me and offered me a spot in Mozambique, the orphanage. And there's about 300 kids, a little over 300 orphans at this orphanage that I'll be staying in. So, and I get to take care of babies, and we get to minister in the dump, actually, right outside of the orphanage. And on that weekend that I'm going to be there, I actually get to stay in a tribe in the bush. And so, like, a little tent. So I'm super excited and nervous.
Wow. That's amazing. So you're really excited.
I am.
Now,
I would like to go now, but
I understand it's very expensive to go over there.
Yes.
And I also understand that you have a means by which people can reach out and give you a hand.
I do.
And that is GoFundMe.com / 97XQ68.
That's right.
Okay. For all of you out there, I'm going to post that on my homepage somehow. I have to learn how to do that adequately, but there will be a posting for that. Jen needs to raise $5,000 before October to go.
Kind of short.
Yeah, just a few dollars short. to go to Mozambique. So she is asking you to donate to the GoFundMe. .com Irish. Look at me, Irish. Iris Ministries. and I'm gonna ask you to pray on this. She has waited her whole life for this. And I think it's an admirable cause. And I hope that people open their hearts up and help you on your way. And if you want to know how she's doing towards that goal and what she's up to, I believe there's a blog that they can reach. Is there not?
There is.
Yes. And that blog is?
www.blogspot.com/liveyourpassion.
Yes.
I also have bracelets that if you donate on GoFundMe that I can send them. It says, Live Your Passion, and it has a little cross on it.
Yes. You know, people go out and buy sandwiches and a coffee for lunch and spend $10. Mm-hmm. I say, bring your sandwich that day and put the $10 towards ministry that's going to help someone, help hopefully some children. Children, you know, have a very special heart place in both your heart and mine. I know that. So you know, that's a good thing. When you think about this trip, what's the one thing that, I mean, other than being with the kids and doing other, what's the biggest fear you have?
Biggest fear is, it's probably the language barrier. Because I don't know Portuguese very well, and, you know, in the tribe, I won't know the language at all, and I've never been in a place that didn't speak English primarily, so I think that's going to be a little confusing, so I think it's more of the unknown, but I am oddly completely at peace with any harm that could come to me. I know a lot of people have voiced worry that, you know, this bad could happen to you or this bad could happen to you, and I'm actually quite at peace to just believe that if anything happens to me, then it's God, you know, God's will, God knows about it, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and it'll happen for the good of the kingdom.
Yes, and I believe that when you're covered with the grace of God, as I'm sure you will be before you leave, that nothing bad can happen to you. You will have his army of angels around you. You know, I can't say enough that I want to help you raise that money. I want to see that number go up as much as I can help you get there. GoFundMe.com. Like I said, you can spend $10 on a sandwich and a coffee for lunch. So take your lunch to work one day and send somebody to Mozambique. My last question for you, Jen. I know I've been interrogating you. I'm so sorry. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
I know that you are on a path of ministry and music, and I know that you believe that worship and music go hand in hand, as I do. Do you see yourself as a minister of music more than a minister?
I see it coinciding with me as far as when I minister, that it will most of the time involve music. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's all going to be praise and worship, but I believe that it will coincide. Like, you know, the time I did preaching at our church, I used music. I would play a song, preach, you know. So I kind of see it kind of coinciding more that way. Mm-hmm. I'm much better with holding a guitar in my hand and talking anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, I really didn't think I was very good at radio shows, and I'm learning my way around. Before you leave in October, I'm going to ask if you would, and I know your schedule is so very busy, I still would like to have you on one more time just to see how you're doing. Because if we want to ship you off ship you off doesn't sound right now, does it? We're going to ship you off. Your mother would shoot me if she knew I said that. If we want to ship you off to Africa, we want to make sure that, you know, you got everything you need. And a camera to take lots of pictures. Yeah, no. So, you know, I think the years that I've known you, the growth has been amazing. And I know that this trip to Mozambique is going to be a life-changing experience for you. I just know it.
Me too.
Any last words before we say adieu? In a few minutes. We still got a few minutes.
Just trust God and praise him and worship him in all things.
Yes.
Through all things.
You know, it reminds me that 4th of July weekend is coming up, and You know, a lot of people are going to be doing a lot of things. Where are you going to be for the 4th of July?
A lake out in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, with a bunch of bands that I know. They're having 4th of July on the lake, and it'll be heavy metal music with fireworks. So it's a big family thing, so I believe that's what I will be doing.
Wow. That sounds like fun. I want to go. I can't, but I want to go. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming, and I will ask one more time what that address is for your trip.
For the GoFundMe?
Yes.
www.gofundme.com/97xq68.
Yay. And we have a goal of $5,000, and every bit helps.
Yes.
Right?
Every bit does. Every bit helps.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, and I will talk to you in a little while.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. And that's us for another week. And next week, I have another guest by the name of Melina McKinney, thank you. Brain's gone. And she's going to talk to us about something else. Very wonderful, a record company. So until then, God bless you. And please be safe this weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8. And please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hosner.